Good morning, beloved ones.
Good morning.
Turn to someone and tell them you are blessed and a blessing. You are blessed and a blessing. You are blessed and a blessing. Yes. You are blessed and a blessing. Well, dear ones, we've been on quite a journey these past few weeks, have we not? Yes, we have. Uncovering what it takes to be a light bearer and a light worker. And if nothing else, we know that this is the time for all of us to step up and to step into our appointed roles as spiritual beings, right? Our appointed roles as spiritual beings, and to actually help shift the consciousness on the planet as we truly are moving into our next level of evolution. That is what is taking place. This is such a wonderful time to be alive, because we are witnessing something so wonderful and phenomenal. We're witnessing transition. We're witnessing elevation of the species. We are in the midst of it, and not only are we witnessing it, but we are called to be workers within it. This is the sixth talk in our series that we've been working with, and the series title was Being a Light, Empowered from Within and on High. And then we would share whatever the topic was for that morning. So this is our sixth talk in this series, and I thought it would be a good place to actually end this part of the series. There are many more ideas and many more thoughts and many more requirements and qualities of being that go into being a light worker, but I thought that this would be today a good place to end this portion of the series, because we have actually laid a foundation. We laid a foundation of the basic qualities and requirements that were needed. And so I thought that we would have some time to kind of work on them, because I gave you some homework, correct? And I know as good truth students, you are really working the homework. Okay. Somebody said they're trying. Okay, Yoda. There's no try, we either do or don't do. But hopefully that we are putting some of them, some of the exercises, some of the requirements into practice. So we were basically taking these first few weeks, 6 weeks, to lay a good solid foundation. So far, this is what we've uncovered. One, we worked with light and identifying ourselves as what? Light beings, right? Light beings, not just human beings, even spiritual beings, that we are light beings who are capable of expressing this dynamic energy and force, this life-giving force from God. Second, we were able to take on the knowledge that the word or the creative word, the word that brings things into manifestation, into being, that this word really is at our disposal, that it lies, the word of God that lies within us, and that we actually have the power to speak our life and to speak our experiences into existence, right? So we uncovered that. Thirdly, we decided that we needed to be able to see the good, that we needed to be seers, to see the good in order to call it forth. You've got to see it to call it forth. And so we understand that power and that ability as a light worker. And fourth, we decided that we needed to learn how to take dominion over our lives, dominion over our affairs, dominion over the circumstance. Not necessarily to control it from without, but to really understand the process of within. And then we decided last week that we were going to take on this power of loving beyond limits. That as a light bearer, it's going to be required that we understand our power and our ability to love beyond conditions, beyond circumstances, beyond any specified individual, but that we were going to be able to love for the sake of loving. Correct? All right. So that's where we've been over these past 5 weeks. And so here we are today, and I'm thinking, well, how are we going to do all of this? What do we need to do with all of these concepts and ideas and practices? And I thought, well, we're going to be able to do it by working with this last understanding that I'll share today. But before I get to that, I wanted us to look at the last piece of our biblical resource. Because if you remember, for each talk, we were working with the book of Genesis, right? We went back to the original source of creation, and we took our marching orders from Genesis chapter 1, being light, speaking the word, God said, all of that comes from Genesis 1. And so I wanted to conclude by also looking at our biblical and our metaphysical resource. So everything has already been created. We talked about that, right? The heavens, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the water, the firmaments, right? The animals, the trees, the plants, the creepy crawling things. Everything had been created in chapter 1, including ourselves. That we were made, what? In the image and after the likeness of God. So we have all that now. All that has taken place in the first chapter of Genesis. And we call it the creation story. And we used how we're going to create our lives and how we're going to function based on these principles that we found in this original book, this original story. But did you know that there are actually two creation stories? Okay? Most of you are biblical. Okay, my biblical scholars do know that. But there are actually two. So the first chapter really talked about us being created in the image and after the likeness of God. But there's another creation story, and it starts with Genesis chapter 2. And so for my literalists out there, and hopefully there aren't too many of you, but if you are, that's okay too. We love you. But let's look at this from a spiritual and metaphysical perspective. Okay, so the first creation was talking about us being in the image and after the likeness of God. So Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, says, so the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation. So he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. This is the account of the creation of the heavens and the earth. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, neither wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth, for the Lord had not yet sent rain to water the earth. And there were no people to cultivate the soil. Instead, springs came up from the ground and watered all the land. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. And in some scriptures it says, and man became a living soul, which I like better. And man became a living soul. So here we have, it says that the heavens and the earth and everything in it was completed. Turn to somebody and tell them, I am complete. I'm complete, right? Sometimes we think if I could just do this and get a little bit of this, and if I could just have a little, I am complete. I'm complete. Because it says, so the heavens and the earth and everything in them was complete. Not still having to work on, but Complete. So I want us to get that. We're going to work with this whole idea of being complete in and of ourselves. But before we get that, I know I had shared with you that I was going to talk a little bit about the heavens. Because in both creation stories, it says God created the heavens and the earth. So we're going to look at this metaphysically, because we know that the heaven, when the scripture says the heavens, that it's not talking about a single place called heaven. Do you get that?
Yes.
It's the heavens, right? So it's not talking about necessarily a physical location, but actually several levels or several realms of consciousness. Several realms. Even Jesus said, where I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be. Because in my Father's house, there are many mansions. House is consciousness, spiritually meditative. In my Father's consciousness, there are many places, many levels. So the heavens are basically talking about the various levels of consciousness. Now, Jesus did say that the kingdom of heaven was within you, meaning that there is this ultimate awareness, this ultimate state of consciousness in which you will find the divine ideas. You will find the divine essence, the high exalted ideas of creation. Pure ideas, the ideas held in God awareness and consciousness. So we're working through the different levels of consciousness so that ultimately we arrive at the kingdom of heaven consciousness. And you mentioned Christ consciousness. It's the highest level for ourselves. So that's what's happening when this book talks about the heavens and the earth. It is the spiritual realm and the physical realm, the spiritual realm and the manifest realm, the unmanifested and the manifested. Whatever, it's all done. It's all created. It's all involved. But you have a saying in metaphysics that everything that is already involved in God consciousness. And our work is to bring it through into expression through evolution. You have involution, which is God's creation. It's already done. There's nothing new what under the heavens. But we bring everything that is into manifestation through the evolution of our consciousness, through the work that we do as spiritual beings and light beings, through speaking the word, through laying hold of that divine idea and bringing it, holding it in our spirit and consciousness and bringing it forth into manifestation throughout the evolution of who we are. And so that's what's taking place. So the point that I wanted to share today, after we got all of that understanding, is that after all of this creation, involution, evolution, all of this stuff, the heavens, the everything, after all of that, it said that God rested. And not only that, but that he blessed his creation and called it holy. Called it holy. On that day, He rested on the day and called everything holy. See, in Genesis chapter 1, everything was named what? Good. You remember that lesson? God created and said it was good. So all the creation was named good. But in this particular verse, on that last day, everything that was created was also blessed. But not only blessed, but it was called holy. A little deeper than being good. We are holy. Everything is holy now. Holy now. So turn to somebody and tell them, I am blessed and I am holy. I am blessed and I am holy. Everything is holy now. See, can you imagine what the world would be like if everyone truly, I mean truly, understood and acknowledged that everything is holy? Everything and everyone in all of creation is holy. It is of the divine. It is already decreed complete, blessed, and holy. What do you think the world would look like if we all had that revelation and that understanding? right? We would have a totally different experience right now if we decided that everything is holy and that everything should be seen as that every person, every life, every creature, everything is holy now. So our task as light bearers and light workers is not only to see it all good, but to see it all as holy. Because we are sacred, we are blessed, we are whole and holy. And the word holy has the same root as the word to heal or to be made whole. And it's because of this word, that it's really where we are now. It's very important for us as light bearers and light workers to understand this concept of holy and holiness. It's important for us as we now embark upon doing this very powerful work to be able to keep ourselves whole and well, healed on every level. Because as a light bearer and a light worker, you need to be whole and well, right? We need to be balanced in all facets of our being, spirit, mind, body. They need to be balanced. They need to be in alignment. One area out of whack means the whole thing is out of whack, right? Most of the time we say, well, I'm pretty good. I got my mind is together, my body's together, but your spirit ain't right. Or maybe you got your spirit right and your mind's okay, but your body is falling apart. Or maybe you think your spirit's right and your body's good, but your mind is totally gone. All must work in alignment because we are spirit, mind, body, spirit, soul, and body. That is our makeup. And it all must be in alignment. All must be lifted up. All must be operating open and functioning properly. So the question comes, do you feel whole and well in all areas of your being? And can you tell if something is out of balance or if something is out of alignment? Because usually we can, right? To be able to tell, and not only tell when you're out of alignment and when you're out of balance, but do you know what you need to do to bring yourself back into alignment? See, right? To bring yourself back into a conscious state of wholeness. Do you know what areas of your life need to be healed? Because it'll show up. It'll show up. But you need to be able to look, what in me needs to be healed? It could be that pattern that keeps repeating itself. It could be that person that keeps showing up in your life. See, by a different name, it's the same person. Right? That situation keeps coming. It looks different, but it's the same situation. Something is coming to be healed. And so we need to become conscious and awake because the unexamined life, it said, is not worth living. If you can't, it's not worth living because it makes life difficult. Being unconscious about what is happening within you and within your life and your affair, it just causes suffering. It's a source of great suffering for you. Now, you may think it's somebody else, or you may think it's the job, your boss, your children, your spouse, the condition, the society, the economic, whatever, all those things. But trust me, it's something to do with what is taking place internally within you. How you are perceiving and experiencing, naming, decreeing, speaking in the world. So whatever is disturbing the calm peace of your mind and soul is up to be healed. Whatever is showing up in your physical body as dis-ease is coming to be healed. Whatever you are, when you're feeling void or empty of spirit, that is the call for the infilling of spirit, for oneness, for harmony, for wholeness, for something to take place in your mind, body, and spirit to be in perfect alignment. You see, because it can be very challenging to continue as a light bearer or a light worker. Sometimes you can get a little discouraged and perhaps a little overburdened with life because there's a whole lot of stuff out here we're trying to work on, isn't it not? Yes, it's deep. And you can become overburdened with it all, with being a positive influence, if you are not strengthened inwardly. If you're not standing on solid ground spiritually. We are spirit, soul, and body, spirit, mind, and body. We do a lot with the mind and the body, but we forget the spirit. And this is your place where you must start. Spiritual strength. I remember during the beginning part of the series, I told you all that it's important for us to keep ourselves filled with light, right? To increase our wattage. That is our ability to handle spiritual energy. The energy that is coming toward us, the energy that is coming to us, the energy that is coming through us. It's very important for us to do that. But I also think there are two other things that we must do along with filling ourselves with light. Two other things that are important. The first is, as a light bearer, we have to know how to rest. On the seventh day, God rested from creation, right? So, What are you doing to rest? To rest from all of your creations, because like it or not, you're creating something every moment. You're creating situations, you're not your thought, you're creating. You are a creator. So what are you doing to rest from your creations and from all of your interactions? Whether you're praying for people and holding up the world and, you know, what are you doing to rest? Because this is what I think. I think that it is so rare these days that we actually honor a time of Sabbath. We don't honor the Sabbath any longer. And Lord knows we could all benefit from some deep, deep, quiet time. We could benefit from the Sabbath. Now, I want us to look at what it means metaphysically to, not only, because I think two things. I'm going to read to you Charles Fillmore's understanding of the Sabbath from a metaphysical point of view. That is dealing with consciousness. And I'm reading from the Revealing Word on the Sabbath. And he says this, the Sabbath, the true Sabbath is that state of spiritual attainment where man ceases from all personal effort and all belief in his own works, that's good, you don't have to do it all by yourself, and rests in the consciousness that the Father abiding in me doeth his works. When we understand the true spirit of the Sabbath, we cease following prescribed rules laid down by a church. All the other churches except for what I'm telling you. Now, you know I always tell you, go within. But he says, but this is what he's saying, the true Sabbath is stop seeking it out here, even when I tell you, because what I'm telling you, I'm always pointing you where? Inward. Right? So he says, you know, and open our mind to God's rest and peace. We rest from outer work, cease daily occupation, and give ourselves up to meditation or to the study of things spiritual. Now, that's an inward thing. And then Spirit gave me this. I was looking for the definition of Sabbath. I wanted to read it, but it turned to one of my favorite words when I opened the book, which is Selah. Selah. I love this word. And usually when you're reading scripture and there's been some kind of pronouncement, some kind of declaration, it'll say Selah. Selah. And this is what Selah means. It's an old-fashioned word, but I love it. Tranquil, secure, at rest, silence, pause, quiet. Selah is the state of mind in which we relax from affirming truth and wait on God in the stillness. Then the Holy Spirit may reveal more of its inspirations to us and may establish us more firmly in divine harmony and good. Now, Selah is powerful because what this says is that there comes a time, even as a truth student, when you have to stop everything. You've done your affirmations. You've done your prayer work. You've spoken the truth. And it comes a time when you have to just say, Selah. I cease from all of that, and I let Spirit inspire me. I let Spirit do the work. As a light bearer, you got to know when to hold them and when to fold them. When it's time, it's true. When it's time to act and when it's time to cease from your actions. Knowing that it is done, you've done your spiritual work. Now you rest in the presence of the divine and you allow God to do the work. This is powerful. It's a powerful time of Selah. So, you know, where's your point of resting and of stopping? You see, our society has lost so much of this. And I believe that even though the Sabbath is talking about internal rest, I think we need some external rest too. We need to stop all the outer things that we are doing to take time to be holy. And I'm not even sure that people would even know what to do without being plugged in to something. A phone, computer, television, headphones, anything that we can plug. People, if you took off, people might not know what to do. Think how you feel when you realize you've left your phone at home. Come on, admit it. Don't you go into a state of panic? Oh, my goodness. I don't have my phone. You feel, what, incomplete, don't you? You feel naked. Something's wrong with that. I remember the time when you had to go to the, if you were out, you had to go find a phone booth if you wanted to make a call. But see, what I'm saying is that we are so wired and so plugged into this outer fixation with getting the information out here that it's actually changing our brain waves and not necessarily for the better. Watching TV all the time on your phone, and I'm guilty too. I play games, I do all that, but constantly plugged into an apparatus, it is changing the way we even interact with each other. We don't even know how to speak. We're losing. So this morning I was in meditation. I said, God, are we losing our connection to be divine, to be human with one another, to feel each other, to talk to each other, to look into somebody's eyes and to be able to read their spirit and say, oh, something is wrong here. They're sad or they need something. We're so busy down here. There could be somebody in terrible pain and we miss it all. We miss it all. And I know that it's going to be hard to go back. So this is what Spirit gave me, that even, I said, well, if we should put all these apparatus away, but they're not going to go away, and it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. They're going to come up with more things to keep us plugged in. But what Spirit said was, fear not, because there's going to come a time when we will transcend even an apparatus, that our communication will begin to be direct, that we are still in an evolutionary pattern, that we're going to learn how to be able, I can feel your spirit. I don't have to talk to you. I don't have to text you. I can just think of you and be automatically present to you and you to me. That's coming. But that's going to come as we evolve. But in the meantime, try to be connected from a human, spiritual point of view. Unplug every now and then. Because spiritual energy is our touchstone, friends. That's the thing that actually keeps us balanced and whole and healed and well. That's the thing that makes us a living soul, right? Not a machine, but a living soul. Remember in Genesis 2, it said, and man, we became living beings and living souls. It said, then God, the Lord, formed the man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living soul. It's this breath of life, right? The breath that animates. It's the animating energy of spirit. It is the infilling of spirit. When that breath went in, it's the infilling of the presence of God as spirit. It's the inspiration, the inspiriting of our being and of our soul. God inspirated us. I'm making up a word again. Inspirated us. We are inspired from within, filled with the Spirit. And we have to remember to be inspired from on high. We have to remember to make that connection, to touch spiritual things that help us to come alive, that help us to feel vibrant. Otherwise, if we don't touch the touchstone of spirit from time to time, otherwise we're going to become so out of focus that we're going to simply succumb to the physical nature of life. Everything then becomes material. All of a sudden, we're not only, you know, in the world, but we're of it. We are of it. And as light workers, we need to be grounded. It says that we came from the ground, but we need to be grounded in spirit. We need to be grounded by taking time to be holy, taking time. First Peter says this, 1 Peter 1 verses 15 through 16 says, "But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy." 1 Peter, you must be holy because I am holy. Take time to be holy. Take time. There's a wonderful poem that I've come across from time to time, and it goes, "Take time," and it says this: "Take time to think. It's the source of power. Take time to read. It is the foundation of wisdom. Take time to play. It's the secret of staying young. Take time to be quiet. It's the opportunity to see God. Take time to be aware. It is the opportunity to help others. Take time to love and be loved. It is God's greatest gift. Take time to laugh. It's the music of the soul. Take time to be friendly. It is the road to happiness. Take time to dream. It is what the future is made of. Take time to pray. It is the greatest power on earth." And then I add this: "Take time to be holy, for it is what transforms your life." Take time to be holy. And so as I conclude this series, I want to give you some homework to do. And that you take some time maybe to have a day of silence. And by silence, I mean unplugged totally. No phones, no computers, no TV, no talking to anyone if you can help it. But take a day to be holy, a time to just simply be in the silence. Now, you know, you may sometimes music, because music is a natural opening up of the spirit. Listen to music if you want to during that day, but make sure that it's something that is inspiring, you know, that it has a positive message that's uplifting. Don't get into too much heavy reading, but you can read something that's inspirational. You know, no Jackie Collins and stuff like that. Just pick something that's inspirational, that will just spark a thought. But most of the time, just practice being. Just being silent, being present, listening, watching the thoughts that come, not judging, letting them come, letting them go, but finding a way to be silent. Practice just simply being. Make this your Sabbath time to have, keep the Sabbath holy. Find a time to have a Sabbath. Now, you know, you can do it once a week. You can do it once every 2 weeks, once a month. At some point, though, the least I would say is try to do it at least once a month. You're going to be surprised how it's going to shift the vibrations of your own being. It really will. So take time to practice the Sabbath and to honor it and to keep it holy. In between, of course, you'll do your regular spiritual practice, whatever that might be, meditation every day, yoga, whatever your practice is, but to do something daily. But to have a full day of just being in the Sabbath is a very powerful thing. And then I ask you to remember the things that we have uncovered, to fill yourself with light daily. As you meditate, fill yourself with light, to speak words of truth and of power, to see good everywhere as a seer, to take dominion over your life and your affairs and your experiences, and to love beyond limits, love beyond conditions, and last, to see and keep everything holy. Everything is holy now. So turn to someone and tell them you are whole and holy. And so I wanted to close by this wonderful song that I have uncovered a while back. And it's by a gentleman named Peter Mayer. And it's titled Holy Now, But Everything is Holy Now. Everything is holy now. Take time to be holy. Namaste. Blessings.